Good morning. We're up to Perek Lamed here in the Netzach Yisrael. The Maral here, in this Perek, I think we can say that he's really going to... He does two things here in this Perek. And we're going to focus for some time on the first, which is really a... to some degree, a general mabat, a general view on the advantages of being redeemed over not having been in exile to begin with. We often thank Hashem for redemption, and then somebody asks, okay, so, you know, I had a better idea. You know, we didn't have to be slaves, you know, so to skip the whole exercise. You know, so the Maral has spoken about that. If you remember, several sessions ago, we talked about the idea of something growing out of nothing. Vahi erev, vahi vayker. Right, first comes the darkness, and then comes the light. And that's a concept, a very, very general concept, which is an important concept we find in many places, in many stages. Which means that you have to go through the process of geula, golus followed by geula, in order for it to be whole, in order for it to be meaningful. But here, he's going to develop that piece a little bit more, and then we'll have a little bit of an exercise, if we can get to it, of an analysis of a specific agoda, you know, in the way of the Maharal. So, starting off, the Maharal says like this. Okay, I'm reading towards, he starts the paragraph and he says this idea, there's always an absence before a presence. There's always heder before there is being. There's always a negative before a positive, always the dark before the light. Olam hazeh before the olam haba. Aval yoser mizeh, but beyond this, says the Maral, ki mitzad b'china acheres, there's another aspect. Ki kasher hotzi osam min agolus. When he took them out of exile, in that Hashem took them for him for a nation. Before this, they were under the control of the nations. It's as if they didn't exist. When somebody is under somebody else, it's as if, in a certain sense, they have no metzius. If you remember, Maral has discussed this idea since the beginning of the Netzach, where he spoke about the idea that golus includes a number of components, including the component that you are subordinate to others. Right? When you're not in your own place, you're not yourself. Right? When you're not together, you're not yourself. And when you're under the control of somebody else, you don't have the ability of self, or we call today self-determination, of doing what it is that you are meant to do, then you are also not yourself. So it's as if you don't exist. So when they were in Mitzrayim, and they were Meshubadim, in a certain sense, they didn't exist. They didn't have the ability to do what they were made to do, what they were cut out to do. Now that they came out of Mitzrayim, they, so to speak, came into active existence. Of course they had potential when they were in Mitzrayim, but there was nothing happening. All that they were doing, everything that they were acting with, was all under the vice grip of Shibun Mitzrayim. Everything they did was dictated by them. And therefore, they only really came into being, came into existence, came into themselves when they left Mitzrayim. Uvazeh Hashem Yisbarach Amitas Tzurasam, Uvay Yisbarach Mitzuyusam Shel Yisrael, V'laher Lezeh Lohem Im Lehaitziyasam. Says the Maral that the idea here is that Klal Yisrael is supposed to be made by heaven. Maybe not made in heaven, but made by heaven. We want to see the birth of Klal Yisrael as being really emanating directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not simply, okay, you know, chalk one up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor, he took us out of Mitzrayim, we owe him big time. It's as if, in a sense, we are created and generated by Hashem when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Before that, because of the intensity of Shibud, because of the intensity of slavery, that allowed us really no freedom to do anything which was us. We were just reflecting the will of others. So being in Golus means a form of non-existence. And Geula means, now I made you. Now I've really made you. And he goes on, I just want to share with you a few more of the statements of the Maharal, a few more of the things which he cites, and then we're going to discuss this a little bit. When Hashem introduces himself to us at Har Sinai, the first commandment or the first statement, he says, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. What's the import of that statement? She'ein safek, acher shehoitzi yisam Eretz Mitzrayim ulukocham loy lo'am. Kodem ze loy hayo lehem etzius klal, hine Hashem yizbarach nechshav tzurasam. Lokach omar Hashem elekecha. There's a personal statement of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is not, as Rav Yehuda Halevi famously asked or described the king of the Khazars as asking him in the Kuzari, why do you speak of Hashem as being the one who took us out of Egypt? That's an event in history. Why doesn't Hashem introduce himself to the Jewish people as, I am Hashem who created the heavens and the earth? I am Hashem who created the heavens and earth. This was really Rabbi Yehuda Levi's kasha. Like the Ibn Ezra in his commentary on Chumash, he says, Rabbi Yehuda Levi of blessed memory asked me this question. Why does Hashem not say, I am Hashem your God who created heaven and earth? In the Kuzari, which is where he presents the fundamentals of Jewish thinking as a dialogue, so when the Jewish sage meets the king of the Khazars, the searching philosophical king, after he has already met the Christian and ditched him, and met the Muslim and ditched him, and met the philosopher generally and ditched him, he comes to the Jew and he says, okay, you know, I gave up everybody else, now I have to ask the lowly Jew. So he comes to the Jew and he says, so tell me, what do you believe in? He says, I believe in the God who took us out of Egypt, who spoke to us at Har Sinai. So he says, you know, I know I left you guys for last. That's ridiculous. Right, you're just going to talk about a God who did this, who did that? What about the Almighty God, the Creator, the one who created heaven and earth? Why don't you speak about believing in that God? To which Rabbi Yehuda Levi answered, and to which we'll have to see what the Maharal's answer to this question is. Maharal himself discusses this question as well in other places, and it's very much what he's talking about here, is that what's there in Yetzias Mitzrayim, I mean, all the answers really focus on this. What happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim, why Hashem introduces himself to us as the God of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is because that's something that we, the Jewish people, particularly experienced. Now, in Rav Yehuda Halevi's conception of it, what he says is that, you know, we can believe in God who created heaven and earth, but that's an abstraction. That's something we arrive at, we look at the world, we say there must have been a creator, and so on and so forth. Yetzias Mitzrayim we witnessed. Matan Torah, we witnessed, we heard, we saw Hashem, and we heard His voice. So, speculation is not the basis for our connection with Hashem. Experience is the basis for our relationship with Hashem. 600,000 adult males between the ages of 20 and 60. Right? We saw it, we all saw it, we gave it over. So you ask me what I believe in, of course I believe God created the heaven and the earth. But you know how I have come to believe in Him? I believe in Him not based on speculation. I believe Him based on the actual experience that our individual members of our nation and our nation as a whole had with Him at these points in history. Okay, so it's proof. That's where Rav Yehuda Halevi. But what the Maharal is saying here, and what you find in the flavor of some of the other, I mean, there are, you usually say basically that there are three general answers to this question. There's Rav Yehuda Halevi's answer. There's the Ibn Ezra's answer. The Ibn Ezra's answer is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed at Yetzias Mitzrayim was that He was treating the Jewish people specially. In other words, of course Hashem created the heaven and earth. And when He created the heaven and earth, so He created a system, what we call Derech HaTeva, the natural order of the way things happen, the all-powerful. We know about God then as the Creator. But at Yetzias Mitzrayim we saw that Hashem did not just allow the Jewish people's lives to unfold the way nature would have it, or as the world turns, or as the Ibn Ezra says, according to the way the stars were aligned. But rather, Hashem reached through that and had a destiny in mind for the Jewish people, and therefore He interrupted the course of nature to make that happen. So we believe in Hashem, who's not just the one who created, but the one who's involved. That's the way he says it. Hashgacha Pratis. hashgacha on the Jewish people at the very least, which we extrapolate from as well for the individuals. That's the second approach. Very, very important approach. Right, the sense of destiny which Yetzias Mitzrayim gives us, not just a belief in God as a philosophical thing, but right, the Egyptians also, right? It says in the Chumash all the time, oh, now the Egyptians will know that I am Hashem. Right? Anybody who believes the story, who takes Rav Yehuda Halevi's evidence for granted when he says, come on, you know, I mean, you know, Christianity is based on a few people who supposedly saw Yoshka water skiing, right? But, you know, here we have 600,000 people, millions of people testifying simultaneously. That's irrefutable. So maybe also the savages who, when they hear the story, they should also believe it, right? But we happen to see it firsthand, but they should accept the testimony also. But according to Ibn Ezra, it's not just a proof, an objective kind of a proof. It's, you have to know what Hashem has in mind for you as the Jewish people. This is a testament not just to the greatness of Hashem, but to the chosenness of the Jewish people. Rashi also answers the question. And it is to Rashi's pshat which the Maral's concept over here has the most connection, although the Maral, in a sense, deepens it. Rashi's answer is, not said, he doesn't pose it as a question and answer, but he says, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim, Mibeis Avodim, says Rashi, since you were slaves to Paro, and I freed you from that, now you are bound to me. In other words, it's not the matter of proof, and it's not even the matter of, oh wow, you see that Hashem really has a destiny in mind for you in the sense of a positive thing. That, wow, look, you know, you mean big things in the eyes of Hashem, which is of course true. But there's a much more binding kind of a view. You were slaves. You had nothing of your own. You had no freedom to do anything. When somebody comes along to a slave and says, I'm freeing you from him, and now you're mine. So now everything you owe to the first one, you now owe to the second one. Now it just so happens that you're not just so happens, but when Hashem took you into his slavery, he was giving you the greatest freedom. He was giving you the greatest opportunity, because, you know, it's like, you know, being freed from chveis, I don't know, from being a slave to lay bricks for you know, in the sub-Saharan, you know, climates, to being free to be a slave where the dictates on you are to work 4 hours a day in an air-conditioned office and make $500 million a year. You know, like, that's the difference. So, of course, you're bound to do it for Hashem, but here it's l'tayv lach. It's a great benefit for you. It's not a slavery of futility, it's a slavery of fulfillment. But that's the idea. Yetzias Mitzrayim means that Hashem says, come on, you owe who you are today to me. The Maral is saying really the same thing, just a little bit deepening this idea. And he's saying that because Klal Yisrael, basically, as slaves, are not considered existing because of the fact that if you can't do anything that you are driven to do, if you can't do anything that you are meant to do, you're just living your life based on the dictates of somebody else who's intervening and telling you to do what they want you to do, then fundamentally you don't exist. Fundamentally you don't exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every being in the world for a tachlis, for a purpose. And when that purpose is waylaid, when that purpose is stopped, and instead of doing what he was created to do, he does something else, says Mar, fundamentally, he doesn't exist. You know, why is he there for? So you understand that when Hashem takes you out from Mitzrayim, where Paro was dictating and distracting you, therefore, from your purpose every day, and he says, now I'm telling you what you should do, and Hashem created us, so he's putting us into the tachlis of what he created us for, now we come into existence. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tseichicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim is, I am Hashem, your God. I did that for you. I freed you to give you your mission, your purpose, your being, your existence. And therefore, Hashem, in that sense, gave us life. Gave us life. Now, the Maral goes on in doing this to cite a chazal from the Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer, a beautiful medrash of Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer, where he shows that this is something which was not singular to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it was something which happened at different steps and stages in the construction of the Jewish people. It's a fascinating medrash, and we're going to spend some time on this medrash. and a little bit beyond the Maral himself. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perek Mem Ches says as follows. Fascinating thing. Chamesh Oisiyos Nichbelu. There are five letters in the Hebrew alphabet that are doubled. How many letters are there in the Hebrew alphabet?
22.
Okay, so the standard answer, correctly, of course, is 22. Aleph through Tav is 22. However, there are five double letters. There are five letters that have a final version, right? Menatzpach. Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, Chaf. Those five letters have what they call, depending where you are, it's called Chaf Sofis, or Final Chaf, or End the Chaf, you know, depending which you learn. I don't know the Ladino version, right? But, you know, it's a separate letter. It looks a Chaf in the middle of the word, has a different structure than a Chaf at the end of the word. So we have five letters in the Aleph Beis that go to, that are doubled. That there's a regular version and another version, which gives you, in a sense, 27 letters to the Aleph Beis. Okay. Says the Medrash, all these letters were associated with Geula, with redemption. And it's a fascinating Medrash. How's that? Chaf, Chaf. Double Chaf. Now, you'll notice that it's not that it has the regular Chaf and the final Chaf, or the regular Mem and the final Mem. It's just, there's a doubling of the Chaf. How's that? Shenigal Avram Avinu Me'ur Kazdim. Shenemar Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Avram Avinu had his own individual redemption from Ur Kazdim. And how was that? Hashem came to him and he said a double word. Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha contains two Chafs. Double Chaf. Don't tell anyone, it also contains two Lamids. Right? But it contains two Chafs. Right? So therefore, that moment, Lech Lecha, was a moment of Geula. By the way, if you recall, we have a very interesting, familiar-sounding pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, where Hashem comes to Avram towards the end of the parsha, at the Bris Bein Avsarim, and he says, "Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoitzeisicha Meur Kazdim." Almost the same terms. It doesn't say Anochi; it says Ani, right? But it's the same format as Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoitzeisicha Meur Mitzrayim. In fact, the Ramban says that that pasuk indicates that just like Yetzias Mitzrayim was miraculous, it wasn't just Hashem sent down a message, guys, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they picked up and went. So when Hashem came to Avram and said, I want you to leave and go to Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't just that Avram was sitting one day and Hashem said, go, but there was also a miraculous extraction of Avram from Ur Kazdim. Hence, what Chazal tell us, that Avram Avinu was there and he was in the fiery furnace, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescued him from the fiery furnace, which, by the way, Egypt is called Kura Barzel, the iron smelting furnace, right? Same thing, right? And Hashem took him out from there. Hashem took Avram out, just like he took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So there was a Geula of Avram, and that's expressed in this verse with those two chafs. Mem, Shenigabwa Yitzchak Miplishtim. Yitzchak was redeemed from the land of the Plishtim. Why? Because it says, Lech me'imanu, hiotzamta mimenu ma'id. Leave from us, because you have become too powerful, or too separate mimenu from us. So whether it's me'imanu with the two mems in that word, mimenu with the two mems in that word, we got extra mems, double mems. That was when Yitzchak was redeemed, separated from the Plishtim. Nun, Shinigal Bo Yaakov Avinu Mihad Esav. We have a Gula of Yaakov. Are you starting to notice, right? Avram has a Gula, Yitzchak has a Gula, Yaakov has a Gula. When Yaakov was saved from Esav, Shinemar, as it says, Hatilei na miyad achi miyad Esav. Hatilei ni na. Two nuns. Ni na. Pei. And the double pay is Pakod Pokadati Eschem. The word was double pay, Pakod Pokadati Eschem. What about the Tzadi? Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ligos Yisrael Sech Malchus Revius. The Tzadi is saved for the end of days, when Hashem will redeem us from the fourth kingdom, as it says, Ish Tzemach Shemoi Umitachtov Yitzmach. Mashiach, we find a couple of ways in Nevi'im, is known as Tzemach. Right? We use that term always. Matzmiach Yeshua. Right? As Tzemach David Avdecha. So that in that pasuk you have both the name Tzemach and the verb Tzemach, a double tzadi. And that implies the Geula. So that's the Medrash of the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Fascinating Medrash, associating it with these five final letters that we have, but saying, and really the Maral's focus is not so much going to be here on the final letters. Mir Hashem will try to get to that as we talk. Maral's focus is on all of these Geulos, on these four preceding Geulos and the fifth ultimate Geula. I didn't have it, right? Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvarei.
Amen. Here, Shemesh on the Dolphin, there's a little bit of Melchi on a mean, Melchi being more intrinsic. And he comes from an Melchi. Melchi being more intrinsic. Does that play out here?
It could. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to say. Okay. Haray. So he says thus, says the Maral, this pattern which the Medrash is demonstrating, that Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov each experienced the Geula of their own, is because each of the Avos was chosen to Hashem. Ki Geula hi lemalas hanigal, a Geula is increasing the quality of the one who is redeemed. If you have experienced Geula at the hand of Hashem, that means that Hashem has given you your existence. If you just had a straight ride, there was no golus, and Hashem never had to pull you out, so then you never had that contact that you have through the process of geula. They would be what they were created to be. They just, you know, however they came into existence. But for Hashem to be considered turasam achren, for Hashem to be considered the one that gave them their being, they needed to experience of geula, and something like that. So we say that's something which indeed was needed. And Hashem did it for the Jewish people as a nation, and Hashem did it as well for the Avos, that each of them would also experience it in their own way. They're nothing so to some degree of their own, independent of the life force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given them, and he says, and that's reflected in the name Yisrael, which is given to the Jewish people. Now, let's focus on this a little bit first. So each of the Avos needs to have this by themselves. I want to share with you a remarkable thing, a Meiridike thing, which is said by the great Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was one of the great Talmidei Agra, and he writes in a couple of places this idea. He says, Chazal tell us, why were the Imahis, why were the mothers of the Jewish people Akoris? Why was it that they were naturally unable to have children? So the Gemara says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avel l'tfilos anshel tzadikim. Hashem yearns the prayers of the righteous. So this way, they didn't have it, they had to daven. Hashem got to hear the beautiful tfilos of the Avos. I always struggle with exactly what that means, you know, so Hashem's holding it back to you, so you should daven. It's a concept which is not limited to that Gemara that says it. We find it in many other places in Chazal, that sometimes the only way we reach out to Hashem is because of need. And therefore, you know, it's a reality. It's an unfortunate reality. It would be better if we reached out to Hashem v'simcha uv'tayv leiv of meirav koil, as we'll read in this week's parsha, even when we have it all. Right? But the fact of the matter is, the reality is that often it's only because of need. But the tzaddikim Hashem wanted, especially Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, takes this to a completely different level. And he says like this. And again, I'm going to be paraphrasing just to try to make it clear. You know that normally the Gemara says, we know, Gimel Shutvim Ba'adam. There are three partners in every human being, the father and the mother and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, when there's a partnership, sometimes you have, you know, the managing partner. You have the silent partner. Limited you have
partner.
What?
Limited partner.
So when you look at that partnership, right? Three partners in a person. How would you define the roles over here? So let's be real in terms of what we see on the ground. What we see on the ground is two very active partners, or maybe I should say one very active partner, right? We have the mother, the father, right? A little nudnik in the background, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, at the bris, you say, I want to give Shevach Leidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, but, you know, it's so well wrapped up in Teva, so effectively wrapped up in Teva, you know, Hashem is sort of out there in the background. Says Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not, the Avos were such phenomena, they had to be, each one was a creation, each one wasn't even simply just a product, okay, you know, Yaakov had 12 sons, you know, they're all considered, okay, the children of Yaakov, you know, but Avram, Yitzchak Yaakov, in a certain sense, they're not just, okay, Yitzchak is the child of Avram, Yitzchak is also a beria b'fnei atzma, you know, he's a being to himself to a certain degree, he has his own identity to a certain degree, his own mida, his own characteristic. It's like a table with three legs, not a table with one leg, with three connectors that go on top of it, go one on top of the other. So he says, each one of them had to be a visible creation of HaKadosh Baruch. And if they would have been born just, you know, with ease, with the natural process, so then you would have said, okay, Yitzchak just came from Avram and Sarah. But you needed to have the signature, the imprint of Hashem on this child. And therefore, Hashem made it that Bederach HaTeva, the father and mother would not be able to do it by themselves. They needed an explicit intervention by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the role, so to speak, of Tfilas on Shel Tzadikim. He's not suggesting exactly to translate the Gemara that way. But you understand that when tefillah is a much more visible presence in the birth of the child, the partnership of Hashem is going to be not so silent. It's going to be very, very visible, very obvious. So that's why Yitzchak was born only with a miraculous intervention. That's why Yaakov was born only with a miraculous intervention. One can say, parenthetically as well, that we know that Yosef was one of the Shvatim, but on the other hand, he was Bivchinas Av. He was a little bit of a patriarch. Witness the fact that he was the father of two of the Shvatim. And Asher and Ephraim were moved up a generation. Yosef was also born, right? Rochel was also an Akara. Also needed something to add him to some degree to the plateau of the others. Frekt Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Asked Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. No, somebody asked, what's missing?
Was
Mrs. Terach an Akara? What about Avram? We know Yitzchak was born as a result of this. Yaakov was born as a result of this. Avram? Do we have any record that Mrs. Terach was having a problem conceiving and Terach prayed? If he prayed, who did he pray to? He didn't pray to God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that we have. Says Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, that's why Avram Avinu had the Kivshan Aish. Because it's true that Avram Avinu was conceived naturally. But Avram Avinu's life, which started, I don't want to say it started conception because we are not political here, but Avram Avinu's life that started at the time that he was conceived and born from his father and mother, it ended when he was thrown into a fiery furnace that would kill anybody. And it started again when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out.
The Maharal doesn't hold the deus that says that Kivshan Aish is not loved
after. What do you mean Kivshan Aish is loved after?
Some say that the Kivshan Aish, that the nace was that the king didn't kill him, it's loved after, it was actually...
That he was thrown into a fiery furnace?
Yeah.
Again, the I'm not quoting here in this point, I'm quoting Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. He takes it literally what he thinks is the mainstream. So there was miraculous. That's like the Ramban says, it was miraculous. Like Asher Yitzchak Meretz Mitzrayim, and that's the same thing they were saying over here with the Jewish people. The Jewish people were born as they were born, you know, over the generations that they were there before they came to Mitzrayim, after they came to Mitzrayim. But in Mitzrayim, when Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, it's considered, as we say, Goy Mikerev Goy, like a nation that was born out of the innards of another nation. It was a rebirth of the Jewish people. As the Navi in Yecheskel compares it, Moldei Sayech, right? It compares it to the birth. It was a birth of the Jewish people. This was a recreation of the Jewish people from that moment. And if we wouldn't have had the Golus, then all of our life subsequently would have been a maturation, a continuity on what was there before. But Hashem wanted that our relationship would be to Him, that we mamish were created by Him, were made by Him. Without the golus, you can't have that subsequent geula. Without the golus, you can't have that.
What about Ezra and Nehemiah, where they did come back? It was through the Derech HaDavar that you had Koresh that gave Rishus, and I, the rest of the Yidden stayed in Babel, so that's why they didn't have the full miracles. Yet we came back, and you can say maybe it took till the Chashmonaim. We became independent. We weren't under Sheba Bavlius for a period of time.
So it's true that happened that way. But indeed, Chazal tell us that Ru'uyim Hayu, right? Excuse me, it should have been that Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa. That it should have happened miraculously in the days of Ezra, like it happened in the days of Yahushua. However, we didn't deserve it. And therefore, what happened? What happened was a natural process where the king of Madai woke up, he admired the Jews, he said, you guys should go and build yourselves a temple. And he gave permission. It wasn't a miracle. It was not a visible miracle. Hashem's hand was very, very well disguised in nature. And the resultant geula reflected that. And when we speak about today, and we speak about the League of Nations saying, or the British saying, you know, the Jewish people are entitled to a home in their ancient biblical homeland, and they could therefore have free, they didn't say, but eventually when we got it, right, that we'd be able to have free immigration there, and anybody, whoever wants to go to Israel is able to go to Israel. So, yes, like Bayesheni. And should we rise to the challenge, maybe it would be transformed into a more miraculous, visibly miraculous thing. But we have the same issues. But the Gulach Reina, Mi'arba Malchias, again, we'll have that kind of a drama. So therefore, that's why we say it. What's interesting is, and if you look at the sources which are quoted by the Maharal, by Rabbi Hartman on the bottom, you know, comparisons, you know, the Maharal in other places speaks about how Avram had to be separated from Yishmael. Yitzchak had to be separated from Yishmael, and Yaakov had to be separated from Esav. Now here, the Medrash actually says Yitzchak had to be taken out of Eretz Plishtim, right? Avram had to, you know, Yaakov spared from Esav, but Yitzchak from Eretz Plishtim. So it's interesting. You know, one could say there the focus would be more separation of the Jews from the non-Jews as the bris is winnowed out. That's a process which to some degree had to be done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Just want to add something very, very nice. Because, you know, we read this, Maral does not at all analyze, so why is it these final letters? Why is it these final letters? You know, Rav David Cohen's Svarim are not used by people. It's a big loss. He writes so many Svarim, so whatever, they don't market them so well. His Svarim are brilliant. Mamish, brilliant Svarim. So he has a shtickle, he has a piece in one of his forum on Menatzbach, on this, and he says that the final letters, you know, the Gemara says, calls them Menatzbach. That's why I keep saying, right, Menatzbach. Now you say to me, why are you saying that? Why didn't you say Kimenapetz, right? Which is even a more correct word than Menatzbach. There's no word Menatzbach, right? But you know, Kimenapetz could be like a spinner or like a whatever that term niputz is, you know, when we speak about in the role of making thread, separating, right? And that would be in order. Chaf mem nun peitzari. Instead, we say menatzbach. Why? So the thing is, the Gemara says in Shabbos that menatzbach seifim amrum. That menatzbach, these extra five letters were said by the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im are called seifim. So it's really, the hint is, we rearrange the letters so it's min tzofayich. From those who were your tzofim, those who were your prophets. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Prophets are not allowed to be mechadesh anything. And if there are no final letters, the Nevi'im couldn't come and alter the Sefer Torah by doing final letters. Says the Gemara, whatever it means, there were always final letters, but they didn't know exactly how to use them, where they should be used, which one are the final ones, which ones are the middle ones, and the Nevi'im set us straight. But the Nevi'im played a role in these final letters. Says Rav David Cohen, beautiful thing, he says, because the Nevi'im, their fundamental role was to be menabe about Achris Hayamim, about the end of days. These are the final letters. The final letters, as such, are the letters of the Achris, are the letters of Geula. And listen to this, this is gewaldic. This is fantastic. It says like this. He says, Hashem's signature, his chosam, is emes. Right? We know that. The Gemara says, Chesam Eshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. But what does a seal mean? A seal is, you know, you finish, you wrap it up, you seal it. The chasima is at the end of days. You know, ksiva v'chasima time. Hashem should write it well, and then he should seal, you know, finalize it, whatever. Yom Kippur, Shana Rab, Hanukkah, you know, whatever religion you belong to. So it's the finish. The seal of Hashem is emes. What's the idea of the seal of Hashem is emes? Because emes is Aleph Mem Tov, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And until you get to the end, you don't have it, right? As Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, I am Hashem, but they don't know my name Hashem yet. Why Hashem's name is with Midas HaEmes, Midas Amitius Sholi. Hashem's name is Hoya, Hoya V'Viyah, was, is, and will be. You haven't seen the fulfillment of the promise. You haven't seen the end of the deal yet. Now you're going to see the end of the deal. Now I'm going to bring you the Geula. We're going to, so to speak, finish the job. So Emes is the beginning, the middle, and the end. How's Emes the beginning, the middle, and the end? Well, Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet. Tav is the last letter of the alphabet. And Mem is the middle letter of the alphabet. But only one problem. Mem isn't the middle letter of the alphabet. Right? Mem is the 13th. Right? Mem is the 13th letter of the Aleph base. So it's in the middle. Okay, it's in the middle. Come on. You know, so let his name be. But you know what? There is no middle letter of the Aleph base. Because when you have an even number of letters, when you have 22 letters, there's no middle letter. Right? His name would have to be, I don't know, Achalas, you know, Achalta. You know, maybe we would serve him if his name was that. Right? You know? You know? It would have to be something else. So what is it? So says Reb David, okay, so now just what you do is take the final letters and put them in and make the Aleph base 27 letters, like it is. And then Mem is the 14th letter of the Aleph base. Because right now it's the 13th, right? Aleph through Yud. Chaf is letter 11. Final Chaf is letter 12. Lamed is letter 13. Mem is letter 14. 14 is the middle letter of the Aleph base. So with Menatzbach, with the final letters, the letters of Geula, then you really have Emes as the beginning and the middle and the end. Isn't that brilliant? That is Reb David Cohen vintage. Vintage,
it's not
huh?
Final Mem,
huh?
No,
it's not final mem. It's because in Emes it's not the final mem. It's the middle. Right? It's the middle letter. That's what he does. Now, the only wrinkle I would say on this is that in the tradition of Gematria, the way it's generally seen is that Tuf is 400, as we know. Final Chuf is 500. Final Mem is 600, final Nun is 700, final Pei is 800, and final Tzadi is 900. And that way you have a filling out of the next, whatever it's called, the next multiple decimal, times, right? The next decimal thing in the Aleph base. Huh?
Which
would make it a different letter.
We had it before.
Okay. But still, there's a room to go both ways, and I think it's a magnificent idea. But this is the idea. This is the piece which the Maral didn't plug in. The letters, the Menatzbach, are the in the Medrash are the Osios Hagaula, because they are the Osios of the Achras, the Osios of the end. Okay, so this is the Ikar point, the main point of this Maral, without question of this Perek of the Maral. The main point, he's adding to what we had before. Yes, Geula comes from Heder. There has to be negative absence before there's presence. But the positive value of being given existence by HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes us completely. It's not just simply that Hashem did us a favor to add to our repertoire. He gave us our being. Yeah.
Is that saying that in the end of days, Hashem, Emes will be
real?
In the end, when we finally reach the end, then Hashem's Mem will be right in the middle. We don't live with the Hashem being
Yeah, well, you can now extend it that way. You can say, okay, so we see it still as a 22 letter. It's, you know, where are we exactly? And that, you know, in the end, when it'll all, every letter will take its place, we'll have the, you know, we'll have that, then we'll be able to see. So, okay. Okay. But the Maharal continues in this perek, and we'll just spend a little bit of time on this, on an agarita, which he analyzes further. The Gemara in Brachas, and Daf Yud. In fact, I'm just going to take the Gemara. Gemara in Brachas is a famous Gemara. What did I miss?
I should turn you back for 1 second.
Check for the thumbtacks on my chair. Okay.
Not there long.
This Gemara is the conclusion. What the Maharal is speaking about is a conclusion of the famous Gemara about Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, who did not want to have children because he was told the Nevuah that his children would be Rishonim, and he was confronted by Yeshayo on this, and Yeshayo convinced him Hashem came. Chizkiyo became sick, and he was dying. And Yeshayo came to him, and told him that the reason why he was going to die was because he was not fulfilling the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. Chizkiyo said, "I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya because I knew that I would have children with Shoyim." So he said, "Look, you know, those are Hashem's hidden pathways. You're supposed to do the mitzvah which is in front of you. Don't avoid mitzvahs because you have prophetic visions about some negative thing which might come out from it." So Chizkiyo said, "Okay, if that's the case, let me marry your daughter. Put your money where your mouth is. Okay, you know, let me marry your daughter, and maybe between my zechuyos and your zechuyos, we'll end up with a good child." And he said, "Sorry, but I would marry you to my daughter, but you're dying. You know, there's already a gzeira on you that you're dying." To which Chizkiyo responded, and he said, "Kalei nevuas chavetzei, what are you talking about? I have a tradition, mibeis avi abba, from David HaMelech, that it doesn't matter how desperate the situation seems, afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavara, even if the sharp sword is across your neck, don't give up from tefillah. You can always turn things around." And so it says, Amar Chanan, afilu balach haloi meisayim lalod melmachur meisayim nasmin rachmin, even if the dreamer, the master dreamer, comes and says to the person you're going to die tomorrow, the prophet, don't give up. This Gemara is loaded with significance. So what happened? So Chizkiyo turned his face to the wall and he davened to Hashem. What's the wall? So the Gemara says he davened from the walls of his heart, from the chambers of his heart, and so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, Zechor no, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, as it gives its part of the story, Zechor no as asher yisalachti lefanecha, remember how I walked before you, Hashem. Be'emes uvelev shalem, with truth and with a full heart, v'atay be'enecho asisi, and I did that which was good in your eyes. My v'atay be'enecho asisi, what is Chizkiyo referring to when he says, I did that which was good in your eyes? Amar Rav Yudah Marav, shesamach gula l'tfila. Because he, when he mentioned Hashem as the Redeemer, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, then he right away davened. Like we do, we're very careful, especially in the morning, when we daven, Baruch Hashem Goal Yisrael, immediately into the Shemoneh Esrei. So I did that. That was the good thing that I did. Rav Levi Amar, Rav Levi says, Shaganas Sefer Refuos. No, the good thing which he claimed he did was that he took the book of Refuos. He took the book of medicines, you know, the PDR, the physician's desk reference, and he put it away, right? He put it away so nobody could find it, and nobody would be able to prescribe medications anymore from this thing. That was the good thing which he did, and that leads the Gemara to discussion about what he did in that, and what was so good about what he did about that is a question. So these are the claims which Chizkiyo makes in order to be able to be saved, and it's like, what are you talking? You know, it's like night and day. You know, one is samach gula l'tfila, the other one is that he put away the savor of voice. Like, what's going on over here? Right? Very, very, you know, two nice things. Whatever the nice thing is about the second one. But what's going on over here? Says the Maral. Maral offers a few different angles on this. And he says like this. Aval bevade machlekusam. Certainly, their dispute is, ki kasher cholach hiskeo vispala Hashem yisbarach shirape yisem yecholye, emar atay b'necha sisi, kolay mar ki roish etifreini bishvil ki atay b'necha sisi. You should heal me because of some good thing which I did. So one held like this. Stam chayli machmas ruchay supigei azman. Where does illness come from? It comes from things which are going around in the world. It comes from things which are going around in the world. It's externally generated. So therefore he says, that I put gula next to tefillah. Why? Because it says in the Gemara, in Brachas, in this same sugya right before it, gula a person who puts gula next to tefillah is not going to be damaged that day. What does that mean, says the Maral? That whatever is floating around in the world around him is not going to affect him. When he puts gula next to tefillah, he's going to be spared from those kinds of things. So therefore, that was what Chizkiyahu was trying to say. I caught something which was going around, but hold on, I'm samech gula l'tfila. I'm supposed to be saved from those kinds of things which are going around. The other one says, no. The chayli which comes to a person is not from something which is going around, it's coming from an internal failure. There's a teva within the person himself, his own body to some degree is malfunctioning, is not working well. There's a problem with his nature. And so he says that when he put away the Sefer of Fuos, what was so praiseworthy about putting away the Sefer of Fuos? So there's a machlokas, there's a big machlokas Rishonim about what it means. According to the Rambam, the Sefer of Fuos was a book of gobbledygook. It was alternative medicines. It was it was alternative medicine spelled with A-L-T-A-R. Right? It was Avdei Avodah Zarah. You know, it was like idol worshiper, superstitious. Narish cake, and people were getting all caught up in that, and so he says, come on, this is crazy, this is, you know, going after other gods in one way or another, don't do it. Whereas others understand, right, Rashi, the Ramban, they understand that to some degree what he was doing was, he was, you know, the Torah speaks about how illness is Ani Hashem Reifecha, that to somehow it's an opportunity that Hashem is sending a person messages and Hashem can heal. And what happened was people forgot completely about Hashem. They just filled the prescription and ran, right? And they just did it. And that was too much living in the world of nature. Remember, Rambam is very opposed to this interpretation because he says, tell me something, when a person eats breakfast, right? So there's a problem that the person just goes to the cabinet and takes out the cereal and eats breakfast. So yeah, of course you're supposed to recognize from Hashem, you're supposed to make brachas and thank Hashem for everything which he did. So why isn't it the same thing with medicine? Well, the other Rishonim understand that breakfast, which is every person is created expecting to have to eat breakfast, right, or at least one meal, you know, some food, is different than illness, which is a quirk, which is a change, which is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be giving the person some special thing, some special guidance. That's right. You're supposed to say Ratzon medicine to so that people should know and people should recognize that it's coming from Hashem. It's not just pop the pill and finish. So he says, it's Taif Shereg, which he's going to discuss here at the end of this parak. So he says that Chizkiyahu says, so I should suffer a breakdown in my teva, a breakdown in my nature, when I have done everything so that people won't be hanging on nature and will instead be looking towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the thing. So viewing it as being subject to that gula l'tfila would be the thing, would be because he was thinking maybe it was some spiritual thing, and gonna say for a fool was because it was some natural thing. So he switches a little bit and adds this thing that it's not just an outside thing versus an external thing versus an internal thing, but it's also something like this. So he says, what's the idea that this is called Hatoyv Beinecha Asisi? Why is this called Hatoyv Beinecha Asisi? I did that which was good in your eyes. So he says, because this is Tev Legamri, when Samach Gula L'Tfila. When a person puts Gula next to Tfila, that's Tev Legamri. Ki Dover Zeh HaTev HaGomer HaLachel. Ki Ma Shehotzi Hashem Yisbarach Yisrael Min HaGolus. Vaitzo HaZeis Hu La'avedas Hashem Yisbarach Shi'a Elokeinu. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Why? To serve Him. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha She'etzisikum Ha'Yisrayim Ve'Yisavadim. That's the introduction to mitzvahs. I took you out, Miyais Lehem Avadim, right? Avodayim Asher Etzisiyesam. And that's tefillah. Tefillah is avoda, right? That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Why are you supposed to go from geula to tefillah? Because you understand that the purpose of geula was that instead of being avodim to Paro, we are to become now avodim to Hashem. What's called avoda to Hashem? Avoda, worship, service, is tefillah. So right away we translate in, okay, we understand why we're out. Now we do it. As soon as we remember the geula, we move into the form of what we're supposed to do as geulim. If he was just redeeming them, so now you could be free like anybody else, so then Hashem wouldn't be leaving their imprint on his imprint on them. By being Saimech Gula Latfila, and Tfila is Avoda la Hashem Yisbarach, that shows you that the Gula is to be connected to Hashem. And therefore, and he says, and by the way, the other way around would also be true. If you would just daven without the geula first, you'd just be serving Hashem without the geula first, you'd be doing a nice thing by davening. Don't get me wrong. But however, it wouldn't be telling you that that's your entire being. You need to have been in golus, and then being given freedom just to be able to serve Hashem, to make tefillah not just a nice thing that you do on the side, but to make it your essence, your being. That's what's necessary. So therefore, he says, if that is the statement of Gula L'Tfila, that's what's called Taiv. Because Taiv is, as we find, you know, in many places in the Torah, Taiv is that permanence, that completeness of attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the same sense, he says, that's the positive statement of engagement, of attachment to Hashem, Gula L'Tfila. And the Taiv on the flip side is the rejection of just using the course of nature, just using the medicines that are there, the rejection of nature for instead for the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to be the ultimate Taiv that we speak about here. And so says the Maral. The Maral ends by saying, V'chein perushay masha amru, Taiv sheberaifim legehenem. What's the idea? So he doesn't, he says, of course this does not refer to a doctor who's very, very much God-conscious every step of the way. You know, Rav Huttner wrote, when he wrote his famous letter about a person who's engaged in the world, but he's just broadening his avodas Hashem, his service of Hashem, instead of saying, okay, now part of the day I serve Hashem and part of the day I'm working. You know, but I'm broadening my avodas Hashem. The example Rav Huttner gave was when he came to Eretz Yisrael and he was introduced to Dr. Wallach, right, who was from Shari Tzedek. He was a very prominent doctor in the earlier days of the Medina. And Dr. Wallach had a standard operating procedure, which was that he would ask their patients their mother's name so that he could daven for them. And he says that's fusion. That's what it means, where your work is a continuation of your Avodas Hashem. It's not, you know, like suddenly you shed one identity and assume another. It's a very striking example. And it's, you know, one could choose other examples, but it's a very, very striking example. So he says, the Raife, who's not a Bal Teres Elokim Imze, the Maral takes the less severe approach. Right? The Maral, the Ramban, says that in a true world, you don't even need the medicines. Trash the medicines. The Maral says that it was more of a reactionary thing. That when the medicine's there, they ignore tefillah altogether. But in the true sense, you're supposed to use nature with a heavy dose of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was Asa's mistake. I mean, we're not going to get into all of this right now. But he says the Raife, who's just living in the world of his technicalities, in the world of his mechanics of healing the person, without incorporating HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, so then, leGehenem. Because Gehenem is the world without God. Right? Gan Eden is a world where you live in the presence of Hashem. Gehenem is a world of His absence. And when a person defines their world that way, so then indeed, that's where they would find themselves as well. You know, there's a famous word that they say, Taiv Shebereifim LeGehenem. What's the gematria of Taiv? It's 17. In other words, when the Reifim only daven 17 brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei. When they get up to Rafa'inu Hashem and Rafa'inu Hashem Hilas, they say, you know what, Rabbi Hashem, I'll take care of that one. You just take care of the rest. Right? So we'll take care of this. That's Taif Shebreif from the Gehenna. That's the idea over here, says the Maharal, that on the one hand, Geula L'Tfila is the complete attachment of the person's identity and their being and their doing to the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whereas Sefer Refuos represented a complete severance of a person from that. So that's what Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda was saying in his tefillah when he said, "Hatoy beinecha asisi," and in that sense, I deserve to be spared from outside forces, from internal failings of Teva.